other friends. Definitely not the first podcast featuring a discussion of pop culture and why we think you should like what we like. You should trust us because we're librarians. I'm Anna, and I don't like too much blood or too many guts.
I'm Aline, and I like all the blood and guts.
Every couple of weeks, we're going to get together and chat about a pop culture topic or two, what we think and how we feel. We'll end the show with our current obsessions. This is episode number 73, and today we're going to talk about horror films.
We may digress into horror experiences and novels just a little bit.
Yeah, there was a time the spider made a spider nest in the porch that I slept on.
And Are you talking about The Serpent and the Rainbow?
No.
Okay.
So, in episode 6 of this very podcast, Carolyn and I talked about Halloween and touched on horror. Horror is a really hard word to say.
Horror.
If you don't have an accent.
Horror. Horror.
But that was 3 years ago. Holy cats. And episode 6 to episode 73. If you can remember what we talked about in episode 6, good job. Otherwise, we're going to link to it in the show page.
So you can go back and listen if you want to.
I'm going to hand it over to Aline because this is her milieu.
Wheelhouse? Bailiwick?
Yeah, all those words.
And other words. I am a horror fan. From way back when. I believe that I started watching horror movies when I was not allowed to do so.
It does not surprise me.
The rebellion or the bloodlust?
Either.
Okay. I was fortunate to visit my beloved Aunt Lynn in the summers when I was a young person, and she would let me watch rated R movies. And I am certain, this is with the full knowledge of my mom, I would go to Aunt Lynn's and I would watch rated R movies, and that was like my secret or whatever. But I think I was mostly interested in sexy times, not scary times. So, like, I remember watching An Officer and a Gentleman, which was filmed in the town I grew up in. It's not a horror movie. I said we were digressing, did I not?
Okay, sorry. Okay. I just haven't seen it, so I don't know.
I have been watching horror movies as long as I can remember, and I have some really vivid memories of watching a lot of movies in college. When I was a freshman in college, one of the dudes who lived across the hall was gearing up to transfer to NYU to go to film school. And he was integral to my film/cinematic education. We went to weird movies together, you know, a gang of people on the floor, not just he and I. And we saw a lot of weird stuff. But I think I saw stuff when I was in high school, too, because I remember seeing Friday the 13th. Nope, I'm lying. No, maybe I did see Friday the 13th. I was thinking of A Nightmare on Elm Street. But I get ahead of myself. I love horror movies. I love to have the tar scared out of me. I am generally not traumatized to the point of having nightmares, but I have had experiences with imagery from horror movies appearing in my nightmares. Doesn't that sound like fun?
No.
I will reference specifically the film adaptation of Stephen King's Salem's Lot. Mm-hmm. There are these greenish vampire children floating outside the window, and my bedroom was on the second floor when I was a kid, and I remember this. And so this was definitely happened before I went to college. Rather than documenting everything right up front, I want to know why you don't like horror movies.
I think it's more nuanced than I don't like horror movies because, as you and I have discussed, there are subgenres and there are funny horror movies. Mostly, I don't like a lot of gore, realistic or not realistic. So I will give The X-Files as an example. I've watched almost every episode of The X-Files. And the grosser ones I tend not to like. I don't mind the scariness, and I don't mind the, like, unexplained phenomena, which, you know, bleeds into science fiction.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really like gross stuff.
Okay, so you don't mind being creeped out with atmosphere, but you don't want to have something gross or gory thrust into your face?
Right, like the description for the human centipede movie.
You read that description?
Well, I knew about it already.
I've seen the movie.
Ugh. Right? Or even The Fly. The description for The Fly. Not into it.
Okay. I can sympathize with that. I pulled a book at the library called Horror Cinema, published by that publisher of visual feasts, Taschen. It's called Horror Cinema, The Best Scary Movies of All Time, and it has these categories: slashers and serial killers, science fiction horror, the living dead, cannibals, freaks, and hillbillies, revenge of nature and environmental horror, ghosts and haunted houses, possessions, demons, and tricksters, voodoo cults and Satanists, vampires and werewolves, the monstrous feminine, high fives all around, and that is what it, those are the chapters that it breaks down. In addition, I found horror genres and subgenres, a flowchart, originally by Horror on Screen. I pulled it out of an AV Club article, and I'll link it in the show notes, and the major headings are gore and disturbing, psychological, killer, monster, paranormal, and then there are some lower categories that include comedy horror and horror romance and creepy kid. Having these conversations with Anna has helped me to resolve her statement of I don't like horror, and I want desperately to discuss it with everyone because I have tasted many, many, many of these flavors of horror and have found things that I liked in all of them. And that does not mean that I am not susceptible to terrifying imagery and that I am not sensitive to blood. I mean, I cut my finger and I will faint. But if you lop off somebody's head and there is blood spraying into the sky, I think it's hilarious. And I'm not sure why that is. But the hilarity thing is like Shaun of the Dead, Zombieland, Tucker and Dale versus Evil. I put District 9 on this list because it was weird, but it didn't show up on any horror lists, so I'm probably wrong. And then there are things like Cabin in the Woods that are super meta that I want to think about too. So what's the worst horror movie experience that you remember having?
I looked at all of these lists of horror movies and I tried to figure out first what I had seen.
Yeah.
And the first one I think I saw was The Birds, which my 7th grade English teacher showed us.
Thanks, 7th grade English teacher. Hitchcock is a category unto his own. He right. was not on a lot of the top 100 lists, or there wasn't very much of his stuff. And yet, his oeuvre is mostly classified as horror, and Psycho shows up on the list, and The Birds shows up on the list, but a lot of his other stuff doesn't, and I don't know if it's because they're mysteries more.
I don't know. I've seen a lot of them, and I like Hitchcock, and I think I like The Bird. I mean, it was in the zone where I was watching a lot of that era of movie anyway, so...
Yeah, but there's this image of Tippi Hedren with her eyes pecked out that continues to haunt me. That's like a thing that bothers me more than
any number of things. I'm very susceptible to an image recurring over and over again, and so I have to be careful which images I allow to cross my path. But I think that the worst one is Alien.
Really?
Yeah.
So that is in the category, is there an Alien category?
There's a science fiction.
The science fiction horror, right, and it lists Alien and Aliens. Okay, so was it the alien bursting out of his belly?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't even like the part in Spaceballs where they parody that.
Interesting.
In the Intergalactic Diner.
I mean, I don't really like it much either. I think it's kind of gross. But do you know, I am more freaked out by the android dude squeezing his pellet of nourishment and it dripping down his hand when they're like all sitting at the table talking.
It's been a really long time since I've seen it and I'm not going to watch it again.
So. No, understood. But like that thing with that guy doing that is the thing that bothered me most in Alien. And I saw the whole thing. And I saw it late. I didn't see it. I saw it at the time that Aliens came out. I think I saw the two of them in a double bill at an art house.
I think it also has to do kind of with the Wrath of Khan, like, thing crawling into your ear and colonizing you situation. Yeah, yeah. Like, it's not just the bursting out moment. It's the whole, like, alien life form growing inside you action.
Okay, although, so that is a huge theme, and I will make sure that we avoid it in our watching.
The only time that I've been, like, mostly okay with that is the X-Files movie when I know that it's going to be okay because they were already, like, contracted for the next season. So when the movie came out, you were like, all right, well, I don't think Scully's going to get turned into an alien birthing tank.
Okay. I forgot to say at the outset that part of this, the goal of this episode is for me to find some horror movies or some classifications or some specifications that I can apply to potentially watch something with Anna that won't hit any of her triggers and will provide me with cheap thrills and an opportunity to grab her.
This is good because I have a list of ones that I came across that I would be potentially okay with watching, so we'll see.
Excellent. And if I've seen them, then I can tell you if they would be okay or not for you. Is there something in the horror movie genre that you have seen and enjoyed?
I have a couple. I really liked Get Out, which we saw
not last too long year. Ago. Yeah.
It was great. I liked the social commentary action. It got gory at the end, but somehow I was able to be like, well, they deserved it. Moving on.
Yeah, that was interesting because we talked about that afterwards, and I remember being worried about the blood and violence near the end and being like, I'm so sorry, because we had gone in thinking social commentary and not necessarily expecting that. But you were like, no, it was fine.
It was fine. So I think I'm skewing toward, so I've got Army of Darkness on here.
Okay, well, we have to see Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2 before we see Army of Darkness, because that's the third one.
Well, I've only seen Army of Darkness. What?
Yeah, you've seen it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, so that's in the humor horror vein.
Right, and Shaun of the Dead is on my list also.
Which we've got on the shelf over there, and I will watch anytime, year-round.
And then the only other thing, I liked Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the 1956 mm-hmm. black and white one.
Yeah.
But I read the description for the other, and it has a lot of people in it that I like. So I think I would probably like either of those. And then I have The Lost Boys on my list.
So I think that if we watched Lost Boys, we would need to make a double bill with Near Dark, which is a Catherine Bigelow vampire movie with Bill Paxton in it.
Okay.
I was reminded of it in my review of best of lists for this episode, and I was thinking that that would be a great double bill. And then I started thinking about how Lost Boys and The Goonies has conflated in my mind. So that is kind of interesting to say. I can talk to my therapist about that.
Right. So I have two other things. I have enjoyed both the It that we have seen.
That's right. We saw the 1990 sort of TV event It, and then we saw the recent theatrical release, which was just half of the story.
Right. And Crimson Peak, I also enjoyed, which got gory at the end also.
And that didn't show up on any of the lists I looked at before we talked. I neglected to look up worst horror movies.
Right. So, I mean, I looked at mostly best horror, but then I started going through, like, the library catalog with horror.
Oh, okay.
But Crimson Peak just occurred to me.
Right. No, I thought about that, too, and it made me think about some of the categories that I blew through the categories that were listed in this book that I reference, and I'll put a citation in the show notes, of course. But I was thinking a lot about the different aspects of things, and there was the teen slasher movies of the 80s and 90s that Scream came out and parodied were a truly amazing thing, and I'm speaking of Halloween and Friday the 13th and A Nightmare on Elm Street and all of their legion of sequels and franchise trade-offs, because I think that Jason and Michael hooked up Friday the 13th and it was Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street that got together. It wasn't Jason and Michael. It was Freddy and Jason.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But Michael stuck to his Halloween stuff.
So these were all things that I knew existed, because mm-hmm. people would talk about them at school, and I would be like, no.
And I can see that. And those are the things that I think we talked about. You have not seen Scream, correct, but you are vaguely open to seeing it.
Yes, it has and a little star next to it.
I think it would be super fun to watch Scream with you and to, like, point out references. It'll be kind of like when we watch a movie set in Seattle. Because I've seen a ton of the stuff that it references. And then there's even the parody of Scream called Scary Movie.
Yes, I've heard of that.
Is, I think it stars Anna Faris, who we love, and is a parody of a parody is a particularly spectacular genre, I would have to say. But Scream was really, really great in that it scared the tar out of you and it used all of the tropes. And they talked about it. It was super meta and very self-aware. That one guy who played Shaggy in the Scooby-Doo movie, Matthew something or other, he was really good in it. And I think he might have gotten killed. So I saw a lot of that stuff when I was in high school, as I think back on it. And then I think about the stuff that I saw in college, where there was an art house cinema near the campus where I went to college. And so I saw double bills of a variety of things. And that was when Dead Ringer came out. And then during the film festival, I saw the Peter Jackson movies that were super slashery, like Dead Alive and Brain Dead, which is also when I saw Dario Argento's Suspiria. So with all these, like, blood dripping off of everything and heads being lopped off, there was a lot of really interesting
right
stuff.
Up your alley.
Right. And but this was when I saw Eraserhead. And then one of my friends, when I was in late college, early graduate school, was very into classic horror. And so we would go see the original Frankenstein and the original Phantom of the Opera with Lon Chaney and the Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. I remember seeing the Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, which is German expressionism.
Sounds real trippy.
Super, super trippy. And it's a silent film, and I saw it with a live musical performance.
Hey, that's cool.
Which was super awesome, which is how silent films were experienced in their time. And then after college and graduate school, when I was a baby librarian, I was living in a place where there was an all-summer film festival. And I think that this really informs part of my continued obsession, love, passion for horror. There was a Lon Chaney film festival at the New York Film Forum in the summer of 1994. And yes, I know I'm dating myself, but every Wednesday night for June, July, and August, I went to the Film Forum and I saw two Lon Chaney films. And if you don't know Lon Chaney, he is the man of a thousand faces, and he was a stage performer who became a film star who knew makeup and also the contortions of his body. So in a time when there wasn't a whole lot in the way of special effects beyond starting and stopping the camera, he played people of all kinds of abilities and all kinds of appearances. And I mean, he played a legless man, and I saw some documentary coverage of how he, like, bound his body into this form, and he's moving around on screen, and there wasn't any sort of CGI erasure of his legs. He had his legs tied up behind himself. And there was all of this. He was not a horror star. He was a film star who was just super, super versatile. But he was also the original Phantom of the Opera. And that's where most of y'all will know him from. And in addition to watching all of these Lon Chaney films, I also was watching the James Whale movies that we found out mostly from Gods and Monsters, starring Ian McKellen. That's the biopic of James Whale, who directed a lot of these films that I did not write down under James Whale. I wrote James Whale and I put a little star by him. I wanted to talk about Lon Chaney and James Whale, but then many of us may have seen Todd Browning's Freaks. And it is like a circus sideshow, and it employed real sideshow freaks of the era. It's from the 30s, and it definitely falls under Cannibals, Freaks, and Hillbillies in this chapter, which goes on. It has Freaks, it has the Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, it has Eraserhead.
Which is, what's his name?
Which is David Lynch.
Yes.
Yes. And then, but there's David Cronenberg with Dead Ringers, and I'm sorry.
Well, no, my question, so I'm going to interrupt to say,
just to get me to take a breath.
No. Are there notable horror movie directors who are not men?
There are not. So Kathryn Bigelow, she of the Academy Award for The Hurt Locker,
yep,
directed Near Dark, the one I was talking about having a double bill with The Lost Boys on. There are not a lot of female directors. There was something that I saw in my perusals, but, oh, you brought home the Babadook. I'm so excited. So Essie Davis is in the Babadook. It was came out in 2014 or 2015, and it was on all of these top 100 lists, and it is Jennifer Kent's directorial debut. I was reading about that, and I thought, that's why we're going to watch it, because it's probably going to scare the tar out of us, and it might hit some of Anna's I don't like this's, but it's got Essie Davis of Miss Fisher fame in it, and it's directed by a woman. And it's become like a meme of everything, so right. We need to know about it.
So another one of my sticking points that may have developed over the past 8 years is the violence to children or children being involved in horror.
So I know that as a mother you don't like violence against children, but what is your stance on the tiny, creepy, murderous child
genre? I'm not sure.
Genre. So, like, should watch
in It
this one. Oh. So in It is terrible.
Right. There's a little boy named George who gets sucked into the sewers. That's not good.
No, that's a triggery thing. I was discussing this with a coworker tonight on the drive home. I was like, so I got Anna to go see It, and there's this huge trigger for her right up front. And, of course, he has gone to see It with his 11-year-old.
I listened to the first half of the book, and I saw the first, you know,
yeah,
movie, miniseries, whatever. So yeah. I don't know if murderous children, like if we watch Children of the Corn, I don't know if I'd be like, oh no, or not.
Well, so Children of the Corn is full of blonde children.
Right.
So that's a little triggery. But I'm thinking more of The Grudge, which is a Japanese horror film. I think the Japanese horror films are where the tiny murderous children came from. Well, there was one with Buffy. The American remake had Buffy in it. But the Japanese one, holy crackers.
But I feel like the previews, well, we can watch the preview and I'll let you know.
Yeah, okay. So, and that's what YouTube is for, is watching previews.
Right.
So The Grudge didn't come up in any of the lists, although The Ring did, which has got the little creepy girl crawling out of the TV and killing you.
Right, but now that VHS isn't a thing, you don't have to worry.
I think that you're still watching a recording? I don't know.
I don't know. That's one that I haven't read, surprise. Or watched, excuse me. I think that the Japanese adaptations are fascinating. I mean, our adaptations of Japanese horror.
Oh my goodness, they're ludicrous. So, let me look
at my... Sorry to derail you.
No, you didn't derail me. So, do you read horror? You say you don't... And I don't mean you say you don't like... You don't like horror films. And we've talked a little bit about what you like and don't like, because you have been very accommodating to my desire to watch some things that would not be to your taste. But do you read horror?
Well...
Hi, Becky.
I think you know the answer to that question. Not unless it's been assigned to me by my book list editor.
Okay. Have you read Stephen King, for example?
Just the half of It.
Just the half of It. Okay. So I guess I won't ask you what your favorite horror novel is.
Well, I enjoyed the Grady Hendrix book Horror Store.
Right. We read that for our horror genre study.
And I have read a lot of what could be classified as horror or could be classified as urban fantasy featuring vampires. And so I have enjoyed that. But it's more the fantastical elements and the sexy bits that get my interest rather than, you know, the vampire stuff.
Right. Okay. I wrote down this question. Does horror exist outside novels and film? And I don't mean the state of our nation. I was thinking about novels and film, and I thought, well, there's not...
Well, there's American Horror Story.
There is American Horror Story on TV, and there is Penny Dreadful, which is horror-inspired.
There's also a series called Ash vs. the Evil Dead, which has Bruce Campbell.
Which is a takeoff on Evil Dead, right, and Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness. So there's television, yes, okay, which I would classify as cinematic.
Fine.
No, but I don't mean to dismiss it. I think that there is a lot of it. I would even put Sleepy Hollow in some of that category and maybe Grimm.
Sure, and The X-Files.
And The X-Files, yeah.
So there are horrific elements and other things. But, so your question is, do horrible things happen?
No, I don't know where that question came from. I think I was trying to figure out if there was something else in horror. There's not horror music. There's not horror. Well, there is, although...
But when there are spooky sounds CDs. We used to have one that we played, you know, when Trick-or-Treaters came out.
Yep, there is the music of horror films, yeah. Which is what came up when I was talking to a coworker. I had gone up to the arts and music department to pull out these horror movie books, and I told my colleague that we were recording an episode tonight, and she was like, so it was the music that made me fall in love with horror movies, and I was like, huh, that's interesting. And then I told her about the Eddie Izzard bit that I will link in the show notes. Eddie Izzard talks in his Unrepeatable show. He starts out talking about he calls them B-movies, but he's talking about horror, and he goes on to talk about Dracula and stuff, and he talks about the music where you step one direction and the music is going dun-dun. Dun-dun. And then you step another direction and the music goes, la-la-la-la-la-la-la. And now if you're listening to the music, then you're not going to get killed by the ex-murderer when you have gone camping in the Forest of Death and Blood. It's a 10-minute piece. I'll give you the timestamp of where you need to pick up for the most pertinent bits.
So there's horror music. Is there horror... There's horror art?
Right. There's horror art, mostly from horror movies, like... Giger's works. He designed The Alien and has a whole lot of art. So my next question is, well, where do you get your thrills if you don't watch horror or read horror? And I realize it's a loaded question, but I'm thinking about all of these different genres, and I'm going to probably talk about a couple of titles in each genre before I let us close on the topic.
Well, so we have, I'm sure, discussed the reader's advisory theory that romance and horror are linked or provide the same type of satisfaction.
I believe that all genre fiction provides the visceral satisfaction that readers require
so in its various incarnations. So, I get my thrills by reading romance, but I also enjoy a psychological thriller, a mystery being solved, but also there's someone in peril, and also it might be a crime in which terrible things have happened. But I prefer terrible things to have happened and for them to be figuring it out rather than there to be imminent danger. Except at the end, maybe.
You just want the danger to be visited upon the perpetrator of the original crimes.
For example, Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, that's what you made me think of.
Is just about perfect.
Oh, really? Thank you, Jonathan Demme, R.I.P.
Right, sorry, Silence of the Lambs is one of my... But I have trouble thinking of it as a horror movie.
Agreed, and it falls into the category of slashers and serial killers, which also includes things like M, which is this amazing black and white Peter Lorre thing, and this book puts Friday the 13th and Halloween in the same category, and Psycho, because of the serial killer factor.
Which I haven't seen.
You haven't seen Psycho?
No.
I saw Psycho with the Seattle Symphony doing the score.
It was awesome. You're very special.
I am super special. I think we should see The Vanishing, the original one, not the American remake.
Are you writing this down?
No, it's on my list.
We have it.
We have it on tape. Have a record. Because it is a thriller. There is not a supernatural element to it. There is not anybody coming back to life and wreaking revenge on anything. It is one of the things that I don't really like in that it is a realistic sort of crime situation, which freaks me right out.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you one that I put on hold, and I don't know if this will surprise you or not. It's called Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon. This is one that I read about on the list, and I was like, that sounds interesting. We should watch it. The next great psycho-horror slasher has given a documentary crew exclusive access to his life as he plans his reign of terror over the sleepy town of Glen Echo.
So, tying into our previous couple of episodes, it's got a reality TV thing going on, yep. which is kind of interesting and can also be found in some of the ghosts in haunted houses. Like, Paranormal Activity is all about, like, people setting up cameras in their house and, like, catching the evil creatures that are going around and doing things to them. I am of mixed feelings, because I have a very vivid imagination.
Yeah, I'm surprised that you were playing with fire as much as you do.
It's interesting, and I was talking to another coworker, talking to all the coworkers about horror tonight, and I can't even remember if I mentioned this earlier in the episode just now, that I have a lot of anxiety dreams, and I have a really vivid imagination, and I have nightmares, and you know this, because you have to wake me up from them. They are mostly sort of reality-based. They're putting you in peril or putting my mom in peril and having something going on in a movie or a book that could even vaguely happen to you is what is really going to set me off.
So the more unrealistic, the better.
Yes. So I want to watch Zombieland. And I want to watch Shaun of the Dead. And I want to watch something where... I want to watch Highlander. Where somebody is going to, like, lop off somebody's head and it's going to go spinning off into the ether.
We should put that on.
Spraying blood. Because I think that's a lot of fun.
Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Yeah, that was great. We watched that and enjoyed it. And it wasn't on any of those top 100 lists that I saw.
I'm not sure how good it was.
Right. But that makes me, it makes me want to refer to this chart, this flow chart of horror genres and subgenres, which is not giving us anything on the best lists. And the psychological things that are listed are, oh, yes, it's got under psychological, it's got home invasion. There is a film called Funny Games in which two young men break into a family's home and torture them and kill them all. And they are of the white privileged ilk of Rope, if you remember Rope.
I do.
And it is unbelievably horrifying.
Okay, so Home Invasion is on my hard pass list because right. I already have anxiety about that. Not in the way that I'm going to go buy a gun, but in the way that if I come home and you're not here, I have to, like, check the house.
Right. So, but I don't check the house when I get home, so maybe if you get home and I'm already home, we should check the house.
No, I don't want to have to check the house. I just don't want to think about Home Invasion at all.
Okay, but I am all over zombies, for example. I think zombies are hilarious. And I'm even interested in crackpot voodoo things like The Serpent and the Rainbow, which I referenced earlier, because the woman in this movie has this, like, little spot on her face. And she looks in the mirror and she scratches at it, and then a bunch of spiders come out of it.
Spiders are also on my hard pass list.
There are no spiders in this pie.
So I am sort of indifferent towards zombies. I can take them or leave them.
I like the idea of having a zombie in the shed.
I'm generally okay with vampires. I'm okay with werewolves. I'm okay with Frankenstein. I'm okay with zombies.
I'm
okay with carnivorous plants.
So number one on more than one of these top 100, top 50 horror movies of all time is The Exorcist.
I haven't seen it, believe it or not.
It is based on a quote-unquote true story. It is based on a novel by William Peter Blatty, and apparently there was this child who was possessed and went bananas, and they had to bring in priests to exorcise the demons that had possessed this child. And my dad, the retired Navy SEAL, would not let you speak the word The Exorcist in his presence. He had seen this movie in the theater back in the 70s, and that was just beyond a hard pass for this man. And I saw it late as a result. I mean, when I was renting horror movies,
when you were out on your own,
that was like not allowed to take that home. And it was interesting. I mean, possession is interesting, and the terror that is implied by a force of evil taking over someone is kind of freaky, but it is also not in my belief system.
Right.
So I am not very deeply affected by it.
Right.
I am more affected by the presence of psychopathy and sociopathy in a film or a book,
yes, for example. I mean, thinking about it, probably I would be more freaked out by We've Got to Talk About Kevin.
Yeah, yeah.
Or We Need to Talk About It, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Than by The Exorcist.
Yep.
But...
Or like The Omen with the tiny evil child. So that is the precursor of all the tiny evil children. And like little Damien is possessed by the devil. And Rosemary's Baby, where poor Mia Farrow has to give birth to the child of Satan.
Also and, on my haven't seen list.
But they all live in the Dakota, so who cares if it's a child of Satan? It's awesome real estate. So there are things that, because Satan or the embodiment of evil just doesn't register for me.
Yeah,
it doesn't register as a threat. It's sort of like, this is great. We should, like, have a beer and watch this with the kids. But then there are things such as, there's the zombie thing, but then in 28 Days Later, it's a virus sort of setup, and also a little bit in World War Z, it's a zombie invasion, and it's an illness. It's not, you get bitten by the zombie and you become a zombie, and it's not a Night of the Living Dead zombie situation.
Right.
And there are voodoo movies where it is bringing people back from the dead based on religious practice. Again, not part of my belief system, so I'm a little sketchy on it. And then there are situations where it is an evil element, like the leprechaun or Chucky or some sort of paranormal enhancement of some object.
So, yeah. So I've seen the leprechaun and I've seen Gremlins.
Gremlins. Is Gremlins horror?
I guess
it is.
I don't know.
No, I guess it is.
And maybe Critters also? Was that a thing?
Oh, Critters. Chud. Chud. Cannibalistic human underground dwellers.
Yeah.
Oh, Chud. I love you so. I'm looking at this spreadsheet instead of looking at my list of things that I wanted to make sure that I talked about. I think that I would like for us to put on the list The Others, which is a ghost story. It was remade in 2005, maybe, with Nicole Kidman, but I think there's an old version. You mentioned The Fly as a hard pass.
Yeah.
One of the top 100 lists included The Night of the Hunter.
Hey,
which
that's not
is
a good.
Robert Mitchum is the bad guy, and Shelley Winters is the mom of two children who is taken in by him.
Yeah.
And I have seen it and loved it.
Yeah, that one sounded good. I was for it.
I wouldn't call it a horror film. It's more of a psycho thriller, not psycho as in Hitchcock's Psycho, but it's more of a thriller kind of thing. And there is a grungy song by a band called Flop, who was in Seattle in the 90s, that is about the movie that I don't know if I've played the song for you. Maybe that should be my musical obsession. Okay. We talked briefly about Stephen King. We didn't talk about The Shining and Misery and Pet Sematary. And in the 80s and 90s, there was a trend of Stephen King book adaptations to film that were really well executed, as somebody who was reading
Carrie.
Books at the time. Carrie, Christine, Cujo. All of these were great. They were not on the top 100 lists, except Carrie and The Shining and Misery were mentioned on some of the lists.
So I've seen Misery.
And?
It was fine. And The Shining, which was interesting. I was not scared by it, even though there were devil children.
Right. We watched that together not too long ago.
But we didn't really see the whole thing. I mean, it was in
the
hotel room.
Really?
Yeah. At the MLA conference, I believe.
Really? That's interesting. So, trigger warning. Rosemary's Baby and Repulsion and The Tenant were all directed by Roman Polanski, who has all kinds of issues. And these movies are creepy as heck and are considered part of the canon. I did not mention Suspiria by Dario Argento.
You did.
Or I did. No, I was talking when I was talking about the Midnight movies and Peter Jackson's Dead Alive and Brain Dead. I didn't mention Saw before now. The first Saw was really amazing. I have not seen the 32 ensuing Saws.
My experience with Saw is that they're usually 8 to 10 year old boys asking for it.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that's probably a hard pass for me.
Yes, absolutely. There is the paranormal, wild stuff of the late 80s and early 90s, like Hellraiser and Phantasm, that I think that Hellraiser was a huge franchise that I don't think I saw anything of. Yes. And then Halloween and Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th, which were already mentioned.
I told you I watched Halloween H2O in the theater. With zero context, yes.
That's so interesting
to me. I mean, I went with a group of people who were like, let's go. And I was like, okay.
And the only thing to really recommend Halloween H2O was its self-referential nature. And it had, like, a better budget than the original.
Right. And I'm not against watching the original Halloween.
Some of it is like watching old science fiction movies where you're like, look at that. Which is interesting. I didn't talk about Creepshow, which was, it came out in the late 80s or mid 80s, and was Stephen King helmed or written, and it was three different like short story things, and they were really, really good, and they scared the tar out of me, and I think I saw them on a high school date in the theater, which is also weird. Oh, I didn't talk about Jacob's Ladder, which starred Tim Robbins. No, what's his name? Is that his name, Tim Robbins, the one who was married to Susan Sarandon and was in Bull Durham? Yeah, okay. Tim Robbins is in this, and he is a postman, and he...
Does he always ring twice?
He doesn't always ring twice, but these young women in the street sing Please, Mr. Postman to him, which is great. And it is really scary and really creepy and very psychological and very sort of shocking ending twist kind of action. So I suggest that you give that a go. I didn't mention Poltergeist yet, which is another tiny creepy child.
There are a lot of those.
Yes, lots of tiny creepy children. And Let the Right One In.
That's on my list.
Tiny girl who is a vampire.
Has been needing to watch.
And it is set... I want us to watch the original. I don't want us to watch the American adaptation, but it's Swedish. And it's set in winter in Sweden. And so it's all nighttime, and there's snow everywhere. And it's a little girl who is the vampire. And it is heart-wrenching. It's so good. So good. Oh my gosh, I loved it. Do you remember American Werewolf in London?
I mean, I didn't watch it. I know that it exists.
It starred David Naughton, the I'm a Pepper guy. I'm a pepper, he's a pepper, she's a pepper. If you drink Dr. Pepper, you're a pepper too. Be a pepper.
Drink brought to Dr. you by Dr. Pepper.
Today's episode of Bellwether Friends is brought to you by Dr. Pepper.
Many of them are.
And chocolate peanut butter Cheerios. Then there are things like Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer, which are sort of docudrama kind of action that will creep you right out because they're supposedly realistic and they're kind of on it. And I said something about Dead Ringers. If you haven't seen Dead Ringers, it's David Cronenberg. Jeremy Irons plays twin mentally ill gynecologists.
Oh, God.
And it is... I mean, that's enough for you to know. If you haven't seen Cabin in the Woods, you should see Cabin in the Woods. It is super meta. It is...
Yeah, but if it's meta, then I'm gonna get half of the things it's talking about.
But it's meta in a different way. It is... It's got a Shaun of the Dead Zombieland thing going on, but then it will still scare the tar out of you, which I appreciated.
Maybe I just don't want the tar to be scared out of me.
But I'm here to protect you.
Yeah, but I'd like to stay in control. Thank you.
The Haunting of Hill House.
Is that based on the story?
Yes. And The Haunting is also based on it. The Haunting is the old one. The Haunting of Hill House is the new one. Lots of really good effects. I saw it. I think it had Catherine Zeta-Jones in it. I think that might be... Oh, the super old stuff. There is a movie called The Golem.
Oh?
Which is in a sort of German expressionism kind of thing, like The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. I think I might have seen it in a double bill.
So good.
And not scary because it's old and black and white and all it is a jangly piano if you rent it from the library. And so how can it possibly be scary? Oh, The Black Cat. I love adaptations of literature.
We have one of those.
Or two. We have two black cats. The Wicker Man. I didn't talk about The Wicker Man. It is this remote town with these creepy traditions, and they like set people on fire, and Britt Eklund is naked and writhing at some point. Don't see the Nicolas Cage remake. See the old British one.
Does seem to be the consensus.
Yes, that's what we know about. I think that I may have covered the questions that I wanted to ask you.
Oh, so I'm going to give you my list of things I'd be willing to see that came up that you haven't already talked about.
Oh, good.
So, let the right one in was on there. Pan's Labyrinth, which I think I went as far as to check out from the library and then didn't watch.
I've done the same thing.
Scream.
Good.
Psycho. Little Shop of Horrors.
That's not a horror movie.
It's got horror in the title.
Okay.
Seven.
Really?
I haven't seen it. I know.
No, it's awesome. There is like a thing in it that I love so much that I'm not going to tell you since you might be willing to watch it.
Phantom of the Opera.
The old one with
Lon Chaney. Yeah, with Lon Chaney. Vampiros Lesbos.
Right? I saw that one on that list and I was like, yes! There is this chapter called The Monstrous Feminine that I really want to look at.
Halloween and The Witches.
The Witches?
With Roald Dahl, yes.
Okay, that's what I thought you meant.
That was on one of the lists.
That's
I
it?
Like, I like The Witches.
Is that it?
Isn't that enough?
No, that's not enough
I mean,
all.
I'd watch Evil Dead since I liked Army of Darkness.
It's so weird that you saw Army of Darkness without seeing Evil Dead.
It was college.
I know. But have some sense of completion.
Yeah, but I didn't know.
Oh my gosh, why didn't they tell you?
I don't know.
You must not have been hanging out with the same guys I hung out with in college.
Well, I didn't hang out with a lot of guys.
Right. I think I want to revisit some of the super old black and white horror with you, like Frankenstein and maybe Nosferatu.
Little G might be into that too.
Yep. The Wolfman, which is Lon Chaney Jr., right. Not Lon Chaney. And not the stuff that would really like bother you. Like Freaks and M would really sort of be troubling. But I think that the original Frankenstein and like The Bride of Frankenstein and the original Dracula with...
Don't forget Young Frankenstein.
Bela Lugosi. And yes, we can see Young Frankenstein. Cigars!
It's been a long time since I saw that.
We can see Young Frankenstein. That would be great. And then we're going to have to see all of Marty Feldman's movies. Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Nope.
Tucker and Dale vs. Evil would approximate Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And don't at me. Fans.
You just don't want people to communicate with you.
I do want people to communicate with me. I just don't want them to at me. I don't want them to correct me. I know we don't have any dudes in our listenership, so it's unlikely to happen.
There are a few.
I wrote down Don't Look Now, and Julie Christie and Donald Sutherland lose a child.
Oh,
so
great.
But that's one of those things. There is the realism descending into madness after a traumatic experience. Not interested at all. No interest. I've seen that one, but that is part of the genre that does not appeal. I am very into teenagers getting killed at summer camps. Super into it. I sign me up. I am on board. Why are you laughing?
No reason.
I love the way they talk about all of the rules in the Scream movies, and I look forward to sharing that with you.
Okay.
Because I can tell you what movies they're talking about. Do we have anything else to cover?
I think we've covered a lot. You're going to have your linking cut out for you.
I do have my linking cut out for me, and I will link to as much as I can.
So we didn't talk about Blair Witch.
Right! And that's on my list to talk about. I remember when that came out.
Me too.
You do?
Well, yeah, I remember when it came out. I didn't watch it, but it was all anyone talked about for a minute.
So I saw it in the theater and liked it and thought it was good and was a little freaked out by it. Where were they in the Blair Witch Project? It seems like they were, like, doing some kind of back-in-the-woods Salem witch trial thing.
I don't know.
No? Okay. So I am terrified of New England because of Stephen King books and movies.
Right.
And a lot of things go on in the woods in New England that don't go on out in the forests of the Pacific Northwest. We have Sasquatches. That's really all we've got.
Teenagers drinking everywhere.
There are probably teenagers drinking everywhere, but the true horror stories all happen around here.
Okay. Well, there were the Salem witch trials. Another one that I had that I came up a few times that I think I saw on TV was Carnival of Souls.
Yeah, I saw that one, and I don't know if I have seen it.
Sounded so familiar, but like I saw it, and I was just watching it, and I was like, what is even happening? I think if I watched it, I would be able to tell. And the other one that was interesting to me that I've never heard of is Ginger Snaps. Did you see that?
I did. I thought that looked really good.
I mean,
so it's these two teenagers, and the one sister is bitten by a werewolf and starts to go bananas, and the other sister is trying to keep everything all cool.
So, to me, it sounded like an adaptation of Christina Rossetti's Goblin Market poem.
Which I don't know.
It's a pre-Raphaelite English. Anyway, it's about two sisters, one of whom tastes the goblin fruits, and the other one has to, like, bring her back from the edge.
What are goblin fruits an analog for?
Well, maybe lesbianism, maybe just experience. Who can say?
Okay, one that didn't come up is The Thing. And so John Carpenter's The Thing stars Kurt Russell, and it is a really great remake of The Thing from Another Planet, in which scientists at one of the poles find aliens buried in the ice and thaw them out, and hilarity ensues. And it's really, really good. And it's a movie that I saw on TV as a kid and scared the tar out of me. The Fog and The Mist are other movies that
things.
I think I saw on TV as a kid that freaked me right out.
Okay, so I'm going to give you 10 movies that you can pick from the ones we've discussed, that I will watch with you. Then we can record again and talk about the experience.
10 movies might not be our next episode.
No, it's not going to be
our
next episode.
We've got a busy week.
We don't know when it'll happen, but that's what I'm going to give you.
Okay.
Just watch whatever it is with the parameters we've set, with the hard passes in place. If a spider occasionally occurs, that will be fine.
Well, and we'll read a more thorough description before we embark upon watching something. Or watch a trailer. It is not my goal to
traumatize me?
Traumatize you at all. Or to torture you, or to even provide you with a less than pleasant experience. I don't think there is anything to be gained by that, just like I
not
hope
really,
that
no.
You don't think there is anything to be gained by making me read a lot of fantasy or something to that effect.
I don't think I really tried.
No, and I, right, there's not, torture is not part of our plan.
Lexicon.
So, moving right along, we didn't talk about Godzilla.
Do you have a musical obsession?
I have two musical obsessions, because one of them came up during the episode.
All right.
My first musical obsession, which came up before the episode, is the Monster Mash, because somebody tweeted about it and said that you've never heard the Monster Mash, you've only heard a song about the Monster Mash. And
I heard it was a Graveyard Smash.
That was keeping me awake at night, and
I heard it caught on in a flash.
I need to listen to the song repeatedly to see if I can find any indication of where I might find the real Monster Mash.
Mm-mm.
And Night of the Hunter by Flop, which is the name of the band. And the line in the song is, the Robert Mitchum character has love and hate tattooed on his knuckles. And in the movie, He interlaces his fingers and he talks about love and hate struggling against each other. And it's one of the creepiest scenes I've ever seen in all of film. And the line in the song is like, there's love and hate tattooed across the knuckles of the preacher man.
Great.
Because he's a preacher. The perpetrator of all of these horrors is an ordained man of the cloth. I rest my case. Okay. Do you have a musical obsession, Anna?
Yeah, I heard it in the car and it spoke to me. So it's by One Direction and it's called The End of the Day.
Do I know which one that is?
I don't know.
Okay.
But the lyrics, some of the lyrics are, all I know at the end of the day is you love who you love. There ain't no other way.
I like it.
Thanks, One Direction.
We love One Direction. I have a regular obsession, too.
Okay, great.
When we were looking at these top 100 lists, Time Out's top 100 list had one of those wonderful lists where you can tick off how many you have watched of the top 100.
Seven.
61. But besides that, my obsession is those lists on the internet where you can tick off the places you've been, or the foods that you've eaten, or so the experiences you've had, or the movies you've seen, or the songs you've sung, and so on, and so forth. So I'm obsessed with those lists, and I might put a couple of them in the show notes because they make me happy. I really like getting a score on something. What's your obsession,
Anna? Let's not analyze that. Well, for once, my obsession is going to be a book.
That's shocking.
Or a series of books, in this case.
I don't believe you.
So, if you haven't heard of the Broken Earth Trilogy by N.K. Jemisin...
You haven't been paying attention.
I haven't been paying attention. But I'm just going to add my vote of confidence to this multi-Hugo award-winning series. My hold on the audiobook of the second in the trilogy, The Obelisk Gate, came in... Actually, two of my holds on the second in the trilogy came in about 10 hours apart, so I have two copies I could be listening to if I wanted. These are things I've been waiting for a long time because everyone is reading and listening to them right now. The third one just came out recently, I think in August, and I have my hold on the audiobook for that. I look forward to getting to it next year sometime.
Something like 40 holds.
I might just break down and read it or buy the audiobook myself. I know. It's really good.
Well, we read The Fifth Season as our benchmark for our genre study, and then I decided to copy and paste our genre study into the staff genre study at my library, so I have another opportunity to not finish reading it. But it's really good.
It is really good.
And I really like it, and I think that it's really well done, and I still don't like fantasy very much.
That's okay.
And that's okay. I mostly read along, and I'm like... Still well built.
I know. A surprising number of the people in the genre study liked it, even though it didn't seem that possible.
Right? And it was the first one, an internet friend of ours said it was the best book she had ever read. And so I've been telling everyone that who is about to start reading it for the STAB genre study at my library. I'm like, my friend said it was the best book she'd ever read. And so... I am into that, and one coworker read it and immediately placed a hold on the second one, so I felt gratified by
it. It is indeed a very good book. And series. The second one there's no appreciable quality differentiation.
That's great.
Like, it's not suffering from, like, middle book syndrome or anything. So, yay.
Excellent.
Right?
Glad to hear it. I know that we have left out something that you might want to say or tell us about horror. And we look forward to hearing from you in any one of our
talking to me.
Potential venues.
It's late.
It's not that late. So.
So you can tweet at us. At Bellwether Friends. BellwetherFrnds.
You can find us on Facebook. We're also on Tumblr. We are everywhere.
That's creepy on purpose this time.
Right?
If you want, you can look us up on iTunes and leave us a review. I'm Anna, and you can find me online at Helga Grace, HelgaGrace.
I'm Aline, and you can find me on Twitter at Surly Spice, SurlySpice. Our in and out music was provided by the lovely Julie Jurgens. You can find her on Twitter at Hi Miss Julie, HimissJulie. I will also want to interject a horror movie scream at the end, and I won't. Bye.
Bye.
And suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the car.